I learned the lesson that this is the church, this is the steeple, open the doors and look at the people, in Sunday school a long, long, long time ago. But I took no greater joy than this to frustrate my Sunday school teachers. I did it like this. This is the church. This is the steeple. Open the doors. There are no people. They're on the roof. Over the years, I've come to learn that that's not bad theology. Right? We gather for worship, and we scatter out into the world each week. We go to our jobs, to our communities, to our places of work, to our neighborhoods, to our schools. And as we do, we are representatives of Jesus Christ in the world. When we come to worship, we don't leave our identity here at NPC. We take our identity with us out into the world. I am NPC. You are NPC. All of us are NPC. So what does that mean for us? As representatives of Jesus Christ in the world is always watching. So what do people see? What do people think? What is it that Jesus Christ wants the community and the world to know about his people who are sent? The needs of the world are overwhelming, aren't they? All I need to do is say Puerto Rico, Mexico, the Caribbean, Mobile, Alabama, and we conjure up those images in our mind of what's happening in our world. But how do we make a difference? Well, today and for the next 2 weeks, I want us to consider what it means for us to be followers of Jesus Christ, because it affects the way that we think. It affects the way that we give of our time, our talent, and our treasure. And there I gave it away, didn't I? We're going to be talking about money. We're going to be talking about stewardship. And some of you are thinking, hey, this might be the time to go on vacation. This might be the time to go visit my relatives that I really don't like, but I need to go see them. Maybe it's time to go leaf peeking. And you might decide that. But I think you will miss something that is at the very heart of the gospel. And so I invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 13. Listen to God's word. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, for you are the very rock and redeemer of our lives. And so, Lord, we ask that you would teach us afresh from your word. Open our hearts and our minds that we might not only hear, but that we would put into practice what we learn and what you desire. For we ask it in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. What we see here in this text is that there is a context of compassion. The first words, when Jesus heard what had happened. What happened? Well, John the Baptist was beheaded at Herod's birthday party. Now, I've been to a lot of birthday parties in my day. I've not seen anything like that. I don't want to see it, but that's what had happened. John's disciples told Jesus. Now, you can read about John's beheading in the first part of chapter 14, verses 1 through 12. It's not pretty. Let it suffice to say that politically, Herod had his own desires. He, as the political ruler, was supposed to care for the people, except he cared about himself and his reputation more than the people. Now, Jesus, on the other hand, had been off teaching while all this had happened, and he withdrew to a solitary place, possibly to get some rest, possibly to get out of Herod's dominion, but probably to get away from the crowds. But he couldn't get away from them. They followed him. They heard his teaching. They wanted more. And so Jesus had compassion on them. In Mark's telling of the story, he says that the people were like sheep without a shepherd. Clearly, Herod didn't show compassion. But Jesus showed compassion on the people. He healed them. He taught them. But that's not where the compassion ends. There is an apparent scarcity of resources here. As the evening drew to a close in this deserted place, the disciples started to get worried. I mean, their strategy here is clear. We can read about it in verse 15. It is a remote place. It's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy some food. Sounds like a pretty good idea. It's not a bad plan. Do the math with me. 5,000 people. And it says men. In addition were women and children. If only half of those 5,000 were married, and of those who were married, if they each had at least one child, there's 10,000 people, possibly. They're hungry. This is not a good situation. Let's give the disciples some credit. They kind of figured this out. In my family, every once in a while, we have a situation which is described as hangry. It's a combination of the words hungry and angry. Now, this word hangry, unbeknownst to me, has been used by my daughters and my wife for a number of years. It continues to be used by them to describe me when I get hungry. The solution? Get Dad some food fast. The results, I got to tell you, they're amazing. If these people were to get hangry, it would not be good. The disciples were simply trying to avoid a bad situation. But Jesus has a different strategy. Jesus' response isn't what they expected. Isn't that just like Jesus? They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. Can you hear the disciples' response? Really? You want us to give them something to eat? With what? Our good looks? We didn't bring any money. We didn't bring any extra food. And besides, there aren't that many convenience stores in the village. All we have are 5 loaves and 2 fish. Let's hit the pause button for a moment. Have you ever been in a situation where there were more needs than there were resources to fulfill those needs? We don't have the resources. We don't have the money. We can't do that. Hey, I've been a part of these conversations for at least the last 30 years or more in the context of ministry in a congregation. I mean, I'm not saying it happens here, but I've heard in committees and on teams, we don't have enough. Whether it be the children's committee or the youth committee or the property committee or the HR committee, you name it. It happens during session meetings. It happens in congregational meetings. It happens in board meetings outside of the church and also in families. We don't have enough. You know, the disciples aren't too different from us, are they? But there's something more to consider here. Meager resources placed in the hands of Jesus become a plentiful supply. There's an apparent abundance in the midst of this scarcity. We know how the story ends. The people were satisfied, all eight. But let's not miss the point. There are four words here that we need to take into consideration. Take, thank, break, and give. Jesus gathered the resources and took them into his hands. 5 loaves and 2 fish. Thank. Jesus gave thanks to the Father for the resources that were provided. We don't know what he said. We don't know how he said it, but he blessed the resources. Break. Jesus broke the resources and give. Jesus gave the loaves and the fish to the disciples to give to the others. And there were leftovers. Sounds just like Thanksgiving, doesn't it? Are we a church that is willing to put our resources into the hands of Jesus? Each week we collect an offering. But this is much more than a collection to pay bills. It is about entrusting ourselves and our resources to Jesus Christ and his purposes and his mission in this world. Are we people who will bring our resources and place them in the hands of Jesus? Are we people who will allow Jesus Christ to say words of blessing over us and our resources? Are we people who will allow Jesus to take and break the resources that we give for the sake of the world? And will we be people who take what Jesus gives to us and offer it to others? Maybe I need to be a little bit more personal here. Are we people who allow Jesus to take us and our families into his hands? Do we trust him? Are we people who allow Jesus to say blessings over us? Are we people who allow Jesus to break our hearts and our thoughts and our attitudes for the sake of the world? And are we people who will take what Jesus gives us and give it to others? This morning we received 16 new members of this congregation, young men, young women. They're our newest members. Of those who are here, please know that you each are NPC, individually and together. Each one of you spoke aloud your statement of faith on Friday evening. Each one of you was prayed over by family and elders, and our elders each said a blessing over each one of you. This is not an ending. This is a new beginning. A beginning of a journey of entrusting your lives and your very selves to the Lord. And here's the deal. you're not alone. We're in this together, following Jesus. Whether we have been following Jesus for 40 years or for 4 minutes, each one of us need to challenge one another for the sake of the world, for the sake of Jesus Christ, for the sake of people who have not yet had the opportunity or the experience to place their faith and trust into Jesus' hands. Meager resources placed into the hands of Jesus become a plentiful supply. The needs of the world are overwhelming, and yet you and you and you and you and you and you and you are NPC. I am NPC. We gather here for worship. We scatter to serve. We scatter to care for a world in need. Instead of thinking that we don't have enough, are we willing to bring our resources and place our resources into the hands of Jesus Christ? Are we willing to bring ourselves and place ourselves in the hands of Jesus Christ? Friends, this is not about us. This is about our Lord Jesus Christ and His greater glory. And you see, when we do place ourselves and our resources in His hands, meager resources become a plentiful supply. May we know that in our lives, individually and together, for God's greater glory. May it be so. Amen.